Good morning, Wayne Fellowship Church. Good morning. If you would, turn to Colossians chapter 4. We're in Colossians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 2 through 6 this morning. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Last night we had a number of us who attended the movie night in the park down the street. It was fun to hang out with one another. But as I was headed to get some food at the food trucks, I bumped into Don, and I noticed the first thing I saw in the light, because I think earlier I didn't see him in the light, but the light was out there by the food trucks, and I noticed he was wearing his Phoenix Suns shirt. If you guys know Don, he's usually in a Phoenix Suns shirt, and so that precipitated me basically saying, oh, you know, the Suns, you know, they're not doing too well or whatever. And he corrected me and said, well, they've actually won their last 7 games. And so I was like, oh, I didn't know that. About a year ago, Don saying, have you been watching the Suns? Have you been watching the Suns? I'm like, no, I kind of gave up on NBA. And he talked me into following the Suns because they were really good last year. And so I was getting more games in towards the end of the, into the tournament and all that. So I was following them. But this year, this new year, I haven't watched one single game. I've been trying to. But like every night I had a night free, they're not playing. And so like, here's the deal. I'm trying to be a fan. I have a t-shirt. It's in my drawer. I don't wear it as often as all of Don's shirts and jerseys and hats. But like, I have a shirt and like, I consider myself a fan, but at the same time, I didn't even know how they were doing. So what kind of fan am I? Not a very good fan, right? Not a fan like Don McAllister, right? I got the shirt, I put it on, but I'm not really vested. I haven't watched a single game. We have been walking through Colossians and kind of using this metaphor for every sermon now, that we have died to ourselves and we have been made alive in Christ. Our central truth today is the same truth that it's been. Paul introduced this in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, that if you are a Christian... What is a Christian? A Christian is one who has died to themselves, who has seen Jesus' death on the cross, and they themselves then have crucified themselves, laid down their life, as they've seen Christ do, that they have fully submitted to Him in death, but in so doing made alive in His life. And so the other metaphor that we see that Paul is using throughout chapter 2 is that put on Christ then. Put on Christ. If you've died, if you've taken off the old self, now you must put on Christ. Many of us have the same kind of outlook on our Christianity as I do in my claim to being a fan of the Suns. I got the shirt, but I don't even know what's going on with the Suns. I haven't spent time reading about them, watching them, sitting on the couch, and just doing the Suns. This morning, Paul commands. It's an imperative. Because likewise, we just don't do what we're supposed to do. But to the church of Colossae, and now 2,000 years later, to the church, the Way Fellowship Church, he says this word in verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Guys, if you were really like on Team Jesus, had the shirt, fan of Jesus Christ, then you would devote yourself to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. Devote yourself to prayer, literally how? Literally an ing verb, staying alert in it with thanksgiving. Folks, it's my deepest conviction that we just are not praying like we should. We are not praying as frequently as we should. We are not praying like we should. And I say that because I've been beating myself up with conviction over the last month or so along this issue. I know that my prayer life hasn't been what it should be. The Lord has been impressing upon me a deeper desire, a greater conviction to spend more time with Him. And not just flapping my mouth all the time and asking for stuff, but sitting with him and listening to what he has to say. The question this morning is not necessarily what is, what does prayer look like? It's not how should I pray? The question this morning is just, what is prayer? And am I doing that? What is prayer? Not how do I pray? I think we've been in church long enough that we've been taught how to pray. The model is often Acts. A stands for adoration. C stands for confession. T stands for, and S stands for those requests, supplication. So we know like the different like aspects of prayer, and we can beat ourselves up a little bit, you know, how much am I spending in adoration? How much am I spending in confession? How much am I spending in thanksgiving? And how much am I just asking all the time? But this morning, I feel like the central thrust is, are we praying? Are we praying? And what is the purpose of it? There's a couple points this morning that underline our call to response. Let me give you the call to response first. Because we have died to ourselves and now live in Christ, let us do so in such a way as to point others to Christ. Because we have died, because we now live in Christ, let us live. Let us live in such a way that we are able to point others to Christ. And there are three things that we're going to see in this verse, three commands, three imperatives that fall under that umbrella statement. If we are to live in such a way as to point others to Christ, what's the first thing that we ought to be doing? Number one, you and I need to be devoting ourselves to growing in our relationship with the Lord through prayer. First and foremost is that command, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, how do we do that? Spend time with Him. There's two metaphors that are given over and over again throughout the New Testament that describe our relationship with God. One is the child-father relationship. Now, pause. Time out. Some of you had bad daddies. So when we talk about God Father, you're looking at your father, your earthly father, and you're like, that ain't a good daddy. But here's the metaphor and here's the intended meaning. Dads are supposed to be good. Dads are supposed to be loving. Dads are supposed to be faithful. Dads are supposed to be protective, correct? So even as a five-year-old, you could go back in time, possibly, I hope, and say, though, there was a time when you wanted to be like daddy. That's inherent in every child. They want to love their daddy. They want to be like their daddy. And folks, that's the metaphor. That as children, we want to be like our Heavenly Father. Amen? There's this longing because we have died to our old selves, because we have been made alive in Christ. We are new creation. What is that new creation? It's a new childhood. It's a new family. It's a new father. And there's a new desire to be like daddy. To spend time with daddy. You know, as my kids get older and older, they don't have anything to do with me. But I have the pictures to prove that, you know, when I was assembling like this iconic picture from, you know, Christy and I's, you know, just family growth, right? There's this picture of me putting together the IKEA table. You know, I got my little screwdrivers out and I got the cardboard all over the floor and I got these plaques and I'm assembling it. And there's Jeffrey, who's like Eli's age, holding a screwdriver also and wanting to be like daddy and help daddy. Prayer, what is the purpose of it? It's to become more like daddy. This is my definition for prayer. This is how I've been operating probably for the last 6-7 years. What is prayer? What is prayer? It's not going to be on the board, so you have to listen. What is prayer? Prayer is the process by which, are you ready? What is prayer? It's the process by which my heart becomes more like God's heart. That's what prayer is. It's spending time with the Lord so that my heart's desires are laid at the altar of Christ and I get His desires superimposed on my heart. My sinful, selfish heart gets more and more squashed by His loving, selfless, godly, sovereign, powerful heart. I become less. He becomes more. Isaiah 55:8-9. No, let me pause that. Don't go there, Eric. Go back. The other metaphor. Husband, wife. Jesus is our husband. We are His wife. We are His bride. Remember that metaphor? So again, my relationship with my wife. What kind of relationship would I have with my spouse if I spent no time with her? What kind of relationship would I have with my spouse if we never talked? So we just do our own thing, two ships passing in the night, never even being in the same room, or being in the same room but never talking to each other. But the metaphor is that we are the bride of Christ. He is our husband. He loves us so much so that He gave His entire life for His bride, right? And often we're sitting on the couch and He's sitting next to us on the couch, just waiting for us to talk, just waiting for us to listen. Prayer is the process by which my heart becomes more like the Lord's heart. The problem, folks, is our hearts, our sinful hearts, they're not like God's heart. Our sinful heart is very different from God's heart. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration, for as heaven is higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And we often look at this verse and we think about how God works, right? This verse we look at and we think about like all the cool stuff that God does, or all the things we expect Him to do, but He doesn't do, and He does it differently. And we think about it in terms of His action and what He does. But look at the words and what it's getting at. At the beginning of the thing is the heart. It's not the actions, it's the heart. The problem with you and I is that we think we're a lot alike, you know, God and us, but we ain't. He's creator, we're creation. He's holy, we're full of sin still. And so much of the problem is that we assume that what we think is what God's thinking. We assume that what we want is what God wants. Well, let's pull out your marriage, your children, your career, this church. We assume that we're thinking like God, but often we ain't. What is prayer? It's retooling, it's redefining our heart. It's submitting to Him and allowing Him to superimpose His heart over our hearts. That as we come to Him in adoration, our heart is changed. That we see Him standing, ruling above us. That as we come to when we come to Him in confession, again, we're recognizing our sinfulness, the errors of our ways and our thoughts. And we're again in faith proclaiming that He is good, that He is sovereign, that He is powerful, that He is wise, that He is holy. In thanksgiving, we're thanking that in His sovereignty, He kept us out of trouble. In His grace, He did not allow us to make that foolish decision that we really wanted to. In thanksgiving, realizing that He is so much smarter and wiser than we are, and He's been working all things for good all along, we just didn't know it. In supplication, knowing that, guys, sometimes He doesn't want us to be praying for those things. Can I say that again? There are some times when God doesn't want us to be praying for those things. Instead, He would have us listen and begin praying for the things that He wants us to be praying for. As a kid, I used to always look at Psalm 37, verse 4, and just be completely confused by it. You guys ever looked at this one? This is the Christian Standard Christian Bible. What is it? CSB, Christian Standard Bible version we just transferred over to? But the NIV, the New American Standard, and the ESV all translate this instead, delight yourself in the Lord. You remember that? Some of you are looking at your translations. And that used to just confuse the heck out of me. Delight yourself in the Lord. What does that mean? In the Hebrew, it's just delight. It's just delight. But the NIV, the New American Standard, and the ESV all put yourselves in there. And so then, like, I'm an English nerd, so I got issues. But it, delight yourselves has this reflexive quality to it. And so I'm always asking as a 16-year-old, well, what does it mean to delight myself in the Lord? Does that mean I'm supposed to delight in the Lord? Option one. Or does that mean I'm supposed to make the Lord delight in me? But that's anti-gospel, right? Jesus delights in his children. Amen. We don't have to do anything in order to earn more delight, more approval, more joy from our Father. And so it's just delight. And the Christian Standard Bible translates it, take delight. Take delight in the Lord and He will give your heart's desires. So heart's desires is the issue. I have all sorts of heart's desires. When I was 21, guess what, guys? I wanted to be a rock and roll star. I was living the dream. When I was 18, I thought I was going to marry someone else. So thankful I didn't. There are things in my life I never thought God would bring me through or to. But He's wiser. He has plans and purposes that are beyond my scope of thinking and understanding and comprehension. But so often, me and y'all, striving to accomplish something that's based on our heart's desires. When we pray, when we love God, when we love the Lord, and we spend time with Him in prayer and in word, when we just spend time with God, guess what happens? We're changed. And our desires become His desires. And then He gives us His desires that have become His desires. Or gives us our desires that had become His desires. I am, you know, we're counseling a young couple who are going to be getting married soon. And one of the things we just keep talking about is that oneness issue, that oneness issue. Right now, you're engaged. There's going to come a day where you will symbolically be pronounced one flesh. But guess what? That ain't going to happen just because the brethren uttered those words. Like, that's going to take time to become one flesh. Amen, married people? You'll be fighting about this 16 years later. You're not going to be fully one flesh. But all of y'all can agree that over time you become more like one. You're less independent, less separate, less individualized than you used to be. You're wrapped up in each other's life and you think alike. And at the party, when someone says something crazy, you just look at each other and you're having a conversation with each other without words, and you know what your spouse is thinking about that comment that was made across the table from you. Correct? That's what prayer is. As we spend more and more time with the Lord, we get His mind. We get His heart. And so the first command here, what does it mean to live out this new life in Christ? Paul is specifically focusing on three things. The first, pray. Devote yourself to prayer, which translates in a changed heart. A new person. Staying alert in it with thanksgiving. Because here's the problem, guys. We don't stay alert in our prayer. We don't realize the significance of it, the importance of it. You walk in your home, you say, you say hi to your spouse and then you don't say anything to her the rest of the night? You walk into God's house, metaphorically, say hi, sit down, and talk for the rest of the evening. Do dinner together for the rest of the evening. Work on the children's homework for the rest of the evening. Cook together for the rest of the evening. Or do you just walk in that door and peel off and stay separate? We must stay alert in this. We must be focused on this. We must be responsible and accountable to this. We must be strategic in this. I have been convicted about prayer, my need for more prayer. It started about 3 weeks ago. And so I started waking up every morning an hour earlier, guys. Just to do it. The older boys go off to school, and it's silent from 7 to 8 o'clock. And that has become my time with the Lord until Mia wakes up and then Jacob gets dragged out of his bed. Okay? And I'm committing to my time with Him. In the Word, but in a prayer journal, not just flapping my mouth, but opening my ears. And let me tell you, the last 3 weeks, guys, has been beautiful. It's been wonderful. You know, did you guys know, you may have forgotten this, we'll talk about this tonight at the budget, right? The budget meeting, but you guys pay me to pray? Do you guys know that? Acts chapter 6, the same word, devoted, that they might be devoted to prayer and the proclamation of God's word. So I pray for you all daily. Pray for the church. Pray. But I needed more time for myself in prayer. And I think we could all agree that that's the same for all of us. Martin Luther, you know, was quoted as saying, I have so much to do today, I need to spend an extra hour in prayer today. So, we must pray. We must do so in such a way that we recognize the importance of it in our growth, in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And then number two, he continues with prayer. He says, pray also for us that God may open a door. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. Verse 3 has this interesting transition. At the same time. It means concurrently. It doesn't mean 1 plus 1 or 1 plus 1 equals 2. It's really like this. You pray for this reason to become more like the Lord. But also do this. Like this is separate. This is important. But at the same time, you need also be doing this. It's not praying so that, verse 3, it's praying to grow in your relationship with the Lord, but equally as important, pray for this purpose as well. And the purpose is so that the gospel, this is number 2, the gospel would go forth and take root in the lives of others. That you and I must be actively in prayer for the advancement of the kingdom. And I won't embarrass anyone, but how many of us have been doing that? How many of us could really raise our hand and say we're doing that daily? America is just going spiraling down further and further in the toilet. And there are empty seats in this house this morning. This is a command. Pray that God may open a door for us for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. See, Paul has sacrificed everything for this work, so much so that we see, again, a reference. He's in prison right now. He believes in this so much, he sacrificed his life, committed his entire life for this purpose, so that others might come to love, follow, and share Jesus. And folks, the call is no different just for Paul. The call is the same for us, that we would be in prayer daily for God's work, to glorify himself, to make this gospel message known to all nations. As Don said last week during the offering prayer, if you're not called to go across the ocean, then we give money for others to go across the ocean. But at the same time, God would have us to go and make disciples in your workplace, in your school, as you meet with customers, as you get chewed out on the phone. As you're disciplining your child, as you're angry with your neighbor again, the Lord has put us in different spheres of life to make disciples. And so we pray for opportunities. We pray for open doors. Have you been praying for open doors? As you go do your job, have you been praying for God to open a door for the proclamation of the gospel? He says, pray for the open door. So listen carefully. Pray for it. But also speak it. He says, speak the mystery of Christ. That's the gospel. So don't just be praying for open doors, but pray for opportunities to boldly speak it. And then number three is a subpoint. That I may make it known as I should, which speaks to the clarity of that proclamation. Pray for open doors, guys. Pray for boldness in speaking it. And number three, pray for clarity as you do it. You know, whenever I have an opportunity to share the gospel, guess what? I'm sweating bullets upside in my head, asking the Lord to make sure I speak it clearly. You know, I'm praying as I'm speaking for clarity as I speak that truth. But as a church, because this is not just necessarily, hey, pointing the finger at Mel or pointing the finger at Jill or pointing the finger at Jessica. This is to the church of Colossae, and then therefore this is to the church, the Way Fellowship Church. All of us, all of y'all, we together need to be praying for the advancement of the kingdom. We need to be praying for each other, that God would give each other open doors. That each of us would be bold in proclaiming the gospel, not worrying about the effects of it and someone getting upset or thinking weird thoughts, and that we would do it clearly so that there would be conversion, so that someone would make a decision, either of rejection or acceptance. It doesn't matter. That's on God. But praying for open doors. You guys get this? The church is not going to grow unless we're praying for this, unless we're boldly doing it and clearly doing it. Do you get that? America's not going to change with the next Republican president that you vote in. It's not going to get better. The Lord has kept us here to advance that mission. It begins in prayer. And I'm calling us for a recommitment to prayer this morning. I'll talk about that at the very end, what that looks like. But let's move on to the last command. Pray that we might be changed. Pray that we might advance the gospel. Number three, act. He says, act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Three imperatives. Pray. Number three, act. Wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. So here's Paul saying, pray for opportunities. When those opportunities come, take them. Be bold, be clear. But in addition to those two things, folks, Do not let your lives be a stumbling block for the gospel. So pray to be changed by the Lord, to grow in His graces within yourself. Number two, pray for the mission. But number three, don't be a jerk. Don't be a jackass. Don't be foolish. So that the person that God would have you lead to Him rejects Him because of you. That your sin, that your personality, whatever you want to call it, would get in the way of them hearing this message clearly. Act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Your actions, your behavior, how you treat others, how they perceive you is going to influence whether or not they will ever listen to you. It's just a fact. And then your speech, always be gracious. Always. How often, right? How many of you guys are always gracious in your speech? Not me. Like, I'm guilty of this. Kids, friends, my wife, you. But as you put on Christ, let's get back to that. As you've died to yourself, as you put Christ on, guess what? You're gracious. You're able to do it. But you're on the phone talking to that jerk who's screaming at you. It's hard to be gracious in that moment. And if you try, you're not really going to be gracious. The answer is to die again, put on Christ again, lovingly communicate to that person. Season with salt, you know. Try eating a meal without any salt in it. So that you may know how you should answer each other. You know, salt makes us thirsty. We need to have some salt in our conversation to make people desire, make people thirst, make people want what we have. But so that you may know how you should answer each person. Here's the part. Make sure that nothing in your life is going to get in the way of the gospel. Live a life as you put on Christ in that life will be attractive and illustrative to others so that they'll want to hear what you have to say. But if you're that guy or if you're that gal who's always cranky, who's always negative, who's always complaining, no one really wants to spend time with you. So why would they ever want to listen to the good news that you have to offer? Three things this morning, guys. Devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to growing in your relationship with the Lord once again. Have you been floundering in that? What's your prayer life been like? Number two, devote yourself to praying for the advancement of God's kingdom. Have you been actively engaged in that? And number three, what does your life look like in order to draw people into that truth? Or has it been a stumbling block for this mission? I said earlier, I'm calling us to a commitment to prayer. Something that I have just been wrestling with with myself internally, my own number one, devoting myself to prayer, my own transformation of looking and acting and desiring the things of God myself. But then also in the life of the church, okay? Like, we need prayer. The family meeting is tonight, so if you're a member, I expect you to be there. We're going to be talking about the budget. We're going to be talking about stuff that's going on in the church. When you became a member, you said you'd be there. Be there. Because we need to pray together. There's stuff happening. There's stuff that's been going on, and you might not have been at the last two meetings, so you have no idea. But we need to come together tonight and we need to pray. And we need to be praying forward because we're talking about budget stuff that have implication going forward. But we need to be praying that we're actually being obedient to what God has called us to do here in 85382 in this location. We need to be praying for one another to support one another in that mission. There are people who have been sick. There are people who are hurting. There are things that are going on in the life of each other's lives. And some of us aren't even aware. Some of us kind of hear about it, but then we don't commit it to prayer. How many of you guys have ever been that person? I'm guilty of this, but you know, someone asks you to pray for them and you say, yeah, I'll pray for you, but then you don't. Like, we got people who need prayer right now. I need prayer right now. We need to be praying for one another. I started writing these blog articles that you've been reading the last 2 weeks. It's just this emphasis on prayer. I'm going to finish that out over the next couple weeks. But I just can't shake it, guys. We need to be in prayer. So I'm going to ask Don and Kyle to stand up and pass these out. The Lord has been convicting me of my need for prayer, the church's need for prayer. Doing the blog article, talking to other people who are hurting, thinking about the budget, going into the next year, decisions to be made, wanting to see these seats full, wanting to see new faces, new baptisms. I want to see the hand of God working. I want to be able to point to God's handiwork, His movement, not ours. I want to see things, incredible, miraculous things done in our midst that only God can do. And that's not going to happen unless we're praying. So I'm calling us to 40 days of prayer as a church. I'm asking us to pray daily for God's work in His body. This takes us all the way up to Christmas Eve. It just worked out that way. But the last day is Christmas Eve. Advent season, we're going to start celebrating in a couple weeks here. But what is Advent? Advent is the celebration of the coming of Christ. And so Advent has two points to it. It's looking back and celebrating the coming of Christ, His first coming. You guys tracking with me? But it's also looking forward to His second coming, that day when everything will be fulfilled. But what about in the middle, in the present? I want us to be praying that God will show up, that Jesus will show up in the present, that He will come in the present and do great things. And so for the next 40 days, I'm just asking for us to pray. Hear me clearly. I want to see more butts in the seat, more baptisms, all those sorts of things that I think y'all would want to. But that's not what this is about, primarily. I want us to pray together, daily, to ask God to do something good. To pray in such a way that our heart's desires become His desires. And over the next 40 days, He changes our hearts as the Way Fellowship Church. That we end up loving Him more. That we end up praying for the things that He wants us to pray for. That we end up doing the things that He would have us to do. And that He does whatever is on His agenda plate to do. So this is a bookmark for the first 7 days. Next Sunday you'll receive a new one with the new week. There's different prayer verses on prayer. The main thing is find a place to spend time with the Lord each day. And there's some helpful suggestions on the back of how to do that. But number one and two, pray that your heart would become His. I'm sorry, His heart would become yours. That's the right way. That His heart would become yours. Pray for the advancement of the kingdom. Pray for one another. Pray for gospel fruit. And then number five, just pray these verses. So maybe a particular word in the verse catches your attention. One word or phrase just resonates with your heart. And go to the Lord and pray that. And ask the Lord, what does that mean? What is that supposed to mean for me? Ask the Lord how you can be obedient in that. Whatever rabbit trail the Holy Spirit leads you down for that particular verse, pray pray in obedience, pray in faith for how the Lord would be directing you through His Word. And just start praying Scripture. And here's the cool thing. Your brother and sister will be doing it also on that day. It's hard to do things by yourself, right? But in the knowledge that the church, that we're all doing this together, I hope you'll commit to it. If you don't pray every day, don't beat yourself up. You know, if you get 37 days out of 40 or 21 days out of 40, who cares? The point is we're all praying a lot more than we were. Is this something we can do? Okay. The call is to devote ourselves to pray. So we're going to do a little bit differently. I'm just going to call on a couple people to pray for us. And then we'll sing, and then we'll close out. Asking for the Lord's blessing in our commitment to pray for Him. Okay. So, Kyle, can you pray? David, can you pray? Luis, can you pray? Yeah, you were hoping I wouldn't, but you are. You're going to pray for us. Patsy, would you pray? And then I'll close. Asking the Lord just to bless our commitment to spending more time with Him. Father, just thank You for this time. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for just getting us straight again on this issue. Holy Spirit, let Your conviction be sweet, not a sense of beating us up or guilting us, but Lord, just renewing that desire, that passion within us, reminding us of Your great love for us that drives us into great love for You. Lord, I pray that You would court us once again, just woo us once again out of all of our comforts, out of our stagnation, out of our distractedness, just woo us to You again during these 40 days. Put within us a renewed desire to spend time with You, to hang with You, to listen, to hear Your heart. Lord, that we would just have confidence to bear our hearts to You. Lord, that we would just have honest, genuine conversation, that we would listen more than we speak. But Lord, that we would pursue You, that we would take delight in You above all else. May You do a new work within this church. Lord, maybe You bring revival in this church. May You stir the fire. May You fan the flame for Your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.